Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk. The light shining through on you. Yes, I'm with you, my love. It's the morning, just we two. I'll stay with you, darling, now.
Along with former Blue Cam Jansen, former Mizzou receiver TJ Moe, Matt Whitener and Hanny Yates, I'm Eric Messersmith. 855-282-8255 on the Ryan Kelly phone line, 855-282-TALK. You can tweet at us at TheHardlineSTL. In case you're just getting off work, the Cardinals completing a three-game sweep of the Pirates with a 2-1 win this afternoon, and that's not deja vu or a mistake. They won every game of this series 2-1. Today, both runs supplied by solo homers for Dexter Fowler. He went 3-for-4 a day after getting on base a couple of times.
We're going to the ship,
He's
Cam.
He's starting to come around.
Say it again.
We're going to the ship.
What ship?
The championship.
Good one. Good one.
It's happening. It's happening. We're only three games under 500.
6-9. Don't say we. You don't play on the team.
Yeah, you don't play on the team, TJ.
You're right. And I could. Yeah,
you're right.
The only
right,
team
I'm right.
You're allowed to say we for are the University of Missouri for the years you were there.
And I don't even say we with them. I
you
don't.
Shouldn't.
No, not now you shouldn't. But if you were talking about
well,
when
Cam has
there.
Never one time referred to the Blues as the Blues.
Never.
It's always we.
Never. No, no. We're all together, damn it.
Michael Wacha went 6 2/3, 4 hits, 1 run baseball. The bullpen again was perfect, although Rosenthal ran into a little bit of trouble in the ninth, but he got the save today. Sungwon Oh pitching the last two nights and getting out of jams both nights to get saves. He got the day off. Matt Bowman, a third of an inning scoreless. He remains with a 0.00 ERA. So the areas of this team that we focused on as weaknesses, which was pretty much everything, the starting pitching has stabilized. The bullpens look good. The defense made a couple errors today in one inning. But overall this series, the defense played well. So they're starting to get much of the team together, but the big glaring weakness is still the offense.
Well, Fowler hit a couple.
We
hit a couple today.
You hit
Fowler,
a couple out?
Me and Fowler has. We consider ourselves as one person, me and Fowler. Now, but he hit a couple dingers, man. That was cool to see that. We were waiting for that, weren't we?
Yeah. Not dingers. Not from him. He doesn't do that too much.
Well, I was waiting for him to hit the ball. He was hitting, what, 130?
Yes, waiting for. And he has been hitting the ball a little bit. This is the first time he's hit two home runs in a game since 2013. He's not a big home run guy.
Well, you know what? It just shows that he's driving the ball again. Mm-hmm. I mean, he hit that ball down in the corner yesterday, yeah. Got that triple out of it. That for me, that first inning last night really just showed everything that the guy can do. He gets on base, and then you have Stephen Piscotty hit a squibber in the infield, and Fowler's there. I mean, he scores. It's instant offense, and that's what you got to do. You've got to be able to eke out a couple of runs. You got to steal those. Just like every once in a while, you got to steal a couple of home runs from your leadoff hitter that's not that guy. There's not a designated power hitter on this team, so if somebody can chip in like that, even if it's him, God bless,
well,
go for it.
Yeah, we talked about it, I think on Monday. He's squaring up the ball really well right now, and it's sometimes it's bad luck and you just hit it right to guys. And he was doing that coming up from his because he was not hitting anything, not getting good contact early in the year. Then the last two or three games, he's been squaring the ball up, and today he was leaving the park.
And give Matheny credit, we bang on him a lot, fans, media. Jose Martinez has been in the lineup. Today he was in left field replacing Randall Grichuk, and he's hitting in the middle of the lineup, batting fifth today. He went 1-for-2, also walked. He's now got a .450 batting average this season with a .522 on base and a .550 slug, and I bet he's going to continue to be in the lineup.
MVP.
As he should be, at least until he cools down.
Yeah, I mean, leave him in there. Leave him in there. Play the hot hand. I mean, here's the thing. If you know anything about Mike Matheny, he's going to do that. If he gets a good feel about how a guy's going, he's going to put him in there every day. And he said it himself, and I think we've got audio from Mike where he commented on that yesterday, saying that he likes the way those guys are playing. So we clamored for it last week. Where are these guys at? Well, they're here now.
Yeah, I love watching Gigi defend. I mean, he's just doing a great job at third base. You know, he's a fun player, a fun player. Just very disciplined, but just does all the little things right and takes pride in the little things. And Martinez has just continued to be just a great addition to our organization. And whatever we give him, he seems to over-deliver as well. So he's going to continue to get opportunities.
Gigi, of course, being Greg Garcia, who started today at shortstop, went 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts and committed an error. His average is down to .227, so he's cooled off a little bit. But you know what I'm saying?
Like,
but that's what you should do. When a guy's playing well, who's not traditionally a starter, put him in there, and then when he stops playing well, he goes back to his role that he's best suited for, which is a utility guy and a good bat off the bench.
I know baseball is a little bit different, but it's happening in hockey right now. Sanford's playing over Laterra. If you got a guy in there that's playing pretty well and a guy who's been entrenched that isn't playing that well, okay.
Like, well, in the playoffs, you better play your hot hand.
And specifically in baseball, the guy you're replacing potentially over in left field is Randal Grichuk, a guy that's not entrenched there, a guy that you're trying to get to be entrenched there that you haven't handed the job to for more than a few months at a time at any point in his career.
Remember, TJ, though, I don't think that's necessarily true because what we talked about yesterday, Carpenter was taking ground balls at third base, and I don't think that was a coincidence. I think that is to get him in it, to get Martinez in at first base from time to time and move Carpenter to third. So you could see a scenario where Martinez maybe makes a start at left field, and then the next day he's at first, and the next day he's in right field because Piscotty's got a day off, and then he's back at first. I think first base may be where we see him most of the time.
You know, the thing I love the most about that Matt Carpenter footage yesterday is it looked like the grainy JFK assassination footage. Like, nobody's supposed to see this. He's out there doing it. He's injured. He's not in the lineup, but boy, he's over at third base. If they're planning to do it, I think you could see it come up pretty soon here. They're going on the road briefly, and I think that that's going to be a time where you're going to see a few guys get those days off. They're playing a lot of games in a row. Yeah. So if you want to get him in the mix and get him over there, hey, do it. I don't care. When a team is struggling the way that they have been, and yet, once again, 6 runs in 3 days is enough to get a couple of wins. That's not going to fly every day. You're going to have to do as many runs as they scored over the last 72 hours in one game to pull some out. So do what you have to do to get the offense out there. And if you got to sacrifice a little bit of defense, not going to the extent of playing Matt Adams on left field level, but do
you're
trying
right, yeah.
Center. I mean, if Dexter Fowler needs a day off,
put him behind the plate. Yeah, no, I want a day off.
I want a closer. I want to see him throw a close.
Yeah. Well, Fowler needs a day off. You just move Grichuk to left, and then you got Martinez, a spot for Martinez. So
and you don't
a
have
lot
that many.
To get him in.
You don't have that many left-handed pitchers, so I think it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It's the Hardline powered by Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. Before we break down the Blues and Wild tonight, Blues and Cardinals converging last night. If you watched the broadcast on Fox Sports Midwest, you saw an interview Jimmy the Cat Hayes had with Joel Edmondson. And we saw that interview.
Like, get that camera out of his face.
We were all texting back and forth like, this is one of those situations where it's not a big deal.
No.
But God forbid he has a big game. And you know there's going to be people out there.
A bad game.
Why was he at the game last night?
Look, at that point, Joel, like, just go to the game. I get it. You're cooped up in your hotel. Or, I'm sorry, in your apartment. You know, you've gone through this. You have 2 days off. You're bored out of your mind. You want to get the hell out of the house. You want to stop thinking about the next night and look, when there's 2 days before an important game like that, that's everything goes through your head is just over and over and over. And you're like, oh, my God, get me out of this. So to go to a Cardinals game, watch a couple innings, fine. Go to a box. Stay away from everybody.
Yep.
Get that camera out of your face.
Hey, Kat.
It's not that big of a deal.
No,
but Kat, get the hell out of my face. I get what you're doing, Kat. Don't get me wrong. I do. But
you're doing your job.
Out of here.
Joel didn't do his job, and that is
Joel
to stay out of the spotlight
outside of it.
Here's how you get back in the spotlight. Score another one's goals.
Yes.
One of those game winners, do that.
And look, who cares if he went to the game? I get it. He's bored.
Okay, so let me just clarify. So you're not saying you have a problem with him going to the game. You're saying he should have refused the interview?
No, just don't be seen. Just try not to be seen. And
it's
hard
optics,
to,
Eric.
It's all optics. He didn't do anything wrong. He wants to get the hell out of his apartment. He's sick of just thinking about the game. Go to a different atmosphere. Watch the Cardinals play a couple innings and get the hell out of there. If a couple fans see, that's fine. But usually you get a box and just hide out a little bit.
What you do, like, I have no problem with anything you did. In fact, in general, I don't even care about the interview. I don't care about, like, me, myself. I just know how people react. And the last thing you need is half of everybody talking about why was Joel Edmondson sitting at the Cardinals game last night when he should have been getting ready for this. Now, those people have never played sports and
don't
understand
that
you can't just sit inside
right.
and watch over and over the film of the same guys you've been playing and you already
and
have
And he's not watching with. Film over while.
No.
Anyway, that's not what you do in
one
hockey.
Thing if you found him at Ballpark Village at like 1:30 in the morning.
Yes.
Or at the casino
of course,
at 4 o'clock.
Or at the strip club. Yeah, no doubt. Okay, you can say anything like that. But just, again, the night before a game, you just
find a box, buddy.
You want to hide.
Find
you
a box.
Just,
there is one thing to this. Now, I think he was even sitting down in the interview. But the one thing the coaches say specifically after practice the night before a game is get off your feet. He was getting off his feet there. But that is part of the optics thing, too. Like when coaches see, I think a lot of coaches wouldn't approve of that. For him specifically being out in the crowd of a game, I think the coaches they just don't want you to be seen. It's not
just don't be seen.
We love the Cardinals.
Of course. This
is about us right now.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, he's bored. I mean, you're sitting cooped up in that apartment. You're like, get me the hell out of here. I'm sick of thinking about the Wild. I'm sick of thinking, reenacting what I'm going to do. I need a different atmosphere. And that's what he did. He went and chilled. But again, just to stay out of the limelight.
And to that point, here on the text line, Zeebo's wrestling buddy's checking in. He says, I saw Edmondson on the boat on the Mississippi River with Odell Beckham Jr. last night.
Throwing his iPads off?
Yeah, no kidding. So I guess Joel's getting around.
Oh, no, Joel.
I get what you guys are saying, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but should athletes have to live their lives to satisfy the opinion
absolutely
of some people,
yes
of some people.
why Eric, let me tell you why. Saying, they pay your salary.
Yes, man.
This is the difference between someone who's played the game and someone who really just looks at it and is like, well, look at, you know, you're a person too, you know, people try to relate to them, but
you're not a person,
but yeah, you're held to a different standard. He had posted publicly on his story on Instagram so all the fans that follow him could see, and he was there with his parents. They'd never been to a Cardinals game. And so he just took him there, so it wasn't like a team thing, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, okay.
But I guarantee, I mean, fans in St. Louis are crazy. They would give him so much flack. And the reason that this is different is just because this is excitement for a city in, you know, hockey who they don't make it far this
time. And don't get me wrong, I want Joe Edmondson to be out and about, show his. We need more guys to be out in the scene. Hey, look, I'm here. I want to intermingle with all the fans and stuff like that. Just the night before a game. Look, if you're taking your parents to that game and they just got in town, hell yeah, you take them there. I don't care. You want to leave by the fifth inning? Boom, get out of there. Don't booze in front of anybody. Don't do your thing. I understand that. And again, if your mom and dad, I didn't know that.
Dude, take your parents to the Champions Club.
Take them to the Champions Club. Right, get a box. You're making good coin right now. And not to mention, you don't have to pay for it. I'll get you a box, Joel.
Yeah.
I'll get you. I'll make a phone call right now and get you a box. Just stay out of the limelight.
Don't they give it to them?
Of course.
Hey, ask Tom Stillman to make a call to Billy.
Maybe they just wanted the live experience or something.
Probably.
Yeah.
Again, he didn't do anything wrong. I'm just looking at it from a completely different angle.
But your parents are going to come to town more than once, probably.
Probably.
And the Cardinals play 81 home games. You could take them out in the atmosphere one of those times.
It's just amazing if you think about how times have changed. Like, Michael Jordan was literally in a casino the day before, like the night before a playoff game. But people saw him, but there weren't cell phones then, at least that took pictures and recorded video. So you didn't see the video on Twitter. But imagine that now. It's just,
Dude,
we're not even talking about the extreme examples. Lawrence Taylor used to be late to his own games because he was snorting cocaine and had a stripper in each arm, and they'd have to come get him naked in a hotel, and he'd come out and get three sacks in the game.
Yeah.
Like, you want to go to
some guys can do that. Some guys can't do that. And he was one of the guys that burned
today, nobody can do that.
No. You'll
doesn't matter if you
that.
Can or can't. You can't.
No, you cannot.
So, but it's optics, Eric. That's the thing. Yeah. You have to always appeal to the fans. And this is why the exact same whatever is happening, you always, even the owners have to apply by this. Donald Sterling had to apply by this. Why? Because everything's up to the perception of the fans, and they're the ones paying for your product. So he did something that was not illegal, but was going to significantly devalue his team in the NBA, so he had to sell his team. Like, things happen. It's all about optics, because that the money is coming from people who have to voluntarily come up and support you.
It's the Hard Line, powered by Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. Joel Edmondson and his boys on the ice tonight a little after 8:30, puck drop. For game four against Minnesota, as the Blues try to close it out. No lineup changes for the Blues tonight. Paul Stastny is skating. He's practicing with the team, but he's not quite ready
morale boost yet.
And you know what? If they get this win, that gives him
another
week to rest.
To take faceoffs, to work on the power play, just to get in the mix again, to kind of keep up the speed a little bit. He's going to have to go through – he's going to have to get bagged after practice. I mean, he's going to have to skate a ton. He's been out for, what, 14 games, 13 games? That's a long time. He's got to get his timing back. And Paul Stastny's one of those kind of guys. Again, he's not flashy. He's not fast. He's not physical. He's got it upstairs. Look at his dad. Look at his brother. His brother, Jan, grew up with him playing. He was one of the best players in Missouri. I mean, he was head over heels above everybody. Paul Stastny could put the puck in places that it doesn't seem like it's a difficult task, but man, oh man, he just knows how to set up a guy like Vladimir Tarasenko. When you have to take a one-timer on the rush in weird spots and weird angles, Paul Stastny will place that damn puck perfectly for you. And you cannot teach that kind of stuff. That's genetics. That's in his blood. He's got the hockey sense in his blood. And look at his family, man. I mean, my God, everybody, his sister's an unbelievable athlete. They just have it. So having him back, that veteran mindset of his, winning faceoffs in the D zone, in the offensive zone, on the power play, he's going to be missed, man. He is missed, but it's going to help out a lot. But just to see him in practice right now, all the boys are like, right on. Let's get through this damn game tonight so we can have our big dog back.
And of all the things he does, the thing he does maybe the best, which is win faceoffs, one of the best in the league, is what the Blues desperately need right now, because that's one of the areas they're getting dominated by in this series. Now, it's probably not going to matter in this series, but next series, when you play Nashville, maybe the breaks aren't going your way. Maybe Jake Allen isn't quite as sharp, and now those faceoffs really matter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Again, when you lose a draw, it wears you out. You got to think. It goes right back to their D. They go D to D with it. They get into the zone. Now what? Now you got to scramble back in the zone, set up shop. Hopefully you retrieve the puck. Good thing Jake Allen is spectacular at playing the puck behind the net. He helps out the D so much, making it so much easier for the forwards in the D because he can break the puck out so damn quick. But, again, when you lose a draw and they get it in, all of a sudden you don't get the puck out. Now you're hemmed. Now you're hemmed. Especially on a power play. There goes 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. Done. Penalty kill. Oh, now you're on a penalty kill in the offensive or defensive zone and you lose that draw. They're cruising around with the puck, and you're stopping and starting and stopping and starting and stopping and starting. Yeah, you might kill that off, but your PKers are worn out. Winning draws, especially in playoffs, is crucial. We got to be better tonight, no doubt about it.
Let me ask you guys this. So we talk a lot from the Blues' perspective, and we've broken down pretty much every angle of this series over and over again, especially with the extra off day. But let's think about it from the Wild perspective. If you're the Wild, what do you do? Because so far, your strategy has been pepper them with shots.
I'll tell you what you do.
Which the Blues have allowed shots from the outside. So what the Blues are letting Minnesota have those shots. They're saying, go ahead, take those shots from out near the blue line, or out, and the Wild are taking them. So what should Minnesota do differently?
You cycle the puck around. Cycle it around. Make Joel Edmondson, make Colton Parayko, make Robert Bortuzzo work. Go in, side to side, east-west with it. Cycle the puck. Let them worn out.
So you're saying don't take the easy shot right away.
Don't take the easy shot right away. Start cycling the puck around. Start wearing our D. I just told you, our D are being worn out. They're using a lot of energy with this style of play. Go ahead, Hanny. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say you wear them down as best you can.
Yeah, and then also somebody's
open. You take advantage of the lines that aren't, you know, that are worn down. And a lot of the best opportunities you've seen is when the guys come around, they skate around the net. That's when you skate around the back of it, I've seen Joel Edmondson and Colton Parayko lose guys multiple times in a quick little backhand in the corner. Those have been some of the best opportunities that I've seen.
You wear out RD. You just keep cycling the puck, and all of a sudden somebody's going to get out of position and somebody right in the slot, like an Eric Staal or a Zach Parise, are going to get in the open shot right in front because guys are scrambling because you're cycling and wearing them out.
And muscling them. They have solid chances to be out-muscled if they don't try.
But what we're doing real well is we're clearing the front of the net. When they do take those bad angle shots, we're clearing the front of the net, and we're getting those rebounds and clearing them. If I was Minnesota Wild, I'd park my ass right in front of Jake Allen. I'd be all over Jake Allen if I was in.
Well,
I would.
And the advantage the Blues have over a team like the Wild is the Blues are bigger. They had the gravity.
In the back end.
The Blues average player is 10 pounds heavier than the Wild's average player. And the defensemen for the Blues much bigger than
the
Wild defensemen.
Not necessarily more physical, although we do have some physical guys. But even having that size, like a Jay Bouwmeester, not a physical player at all, but he has a long reach, man. Like, he's got a long wingspan where he can go from one side all the way to the other. It's hard to get around a guy like that. It's very easy to defend when that tall.
And it seems like Bo has actually played physically somewhat this series.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah. On the puck and in front of the net.
He's not crushing guys, although I want Colton Parayko.
He's been clearing guys.
Yes, and I love that. That's great. I want 55 to lay somebody.
No. I'm with you. I was
just once a game, Colton, baby. Come on. I know, but you're playing great. You're doing well, and I don't want to. That's me nitpicking because that's what I do.
No, I just wanted to point out that I noticed that about Bo because normally I everything you say,
Bo.
But we complain a lot about guys not moving him out, and it seems like
he's doing it.
He is the guy that's there.
He struggled in the second period the other day where he made a couple boneheaded plays up the middle and stuff like that.
Led to a goal.
And he didn't get his guy and it led to a goal. Little break, one person, just a little breakdown like that, boom, goal, just like that. Jake Allen stands on his head, da-da-da-da, make all these acrobatic saves, and all of a sudden you turn the puck over to neutral zone, you don't catch up with your guy, you lose your guy in front of that, boom, goal. All those saves, and all of a sudden that happens. You cannot have that happen in the playoffs.
It just seems interesting to me that like when Yo took over, it was obvious what the Blues were doing. They went from the man-to-man to the zone. They parked a defender in front of the goalie no matter where the puck was, and they packed it in and basically said, we're going to give you those longer shots.
Go ahead.
But we're not going to let you get a rebound, and we're not going to let you get to the front of the net, and we're not going to let you get to those juicy areas.
And by the way, I mean, you got to shoot through us, too, because we're going to block every single shot. We're fronting you. Go ahead. We're invited, and we're going to block that shot.
And Minnesota, they're not stupid. They knew that, yet when they got into the heat of the game, what have they done?
Panic.
They've settled for those shots that the Blues want them to take.
I know. I look at it as like they're kind of panicking. You know, when they get there, like, what do I do? Oh, I'm just going to try to shoot it. Instead of just cycling and wearing them out and let them move and chase and move and chase and move and chase, and all of a sudden somebody gets out of position, you find the guy in the slot, or you take it to the net, or whatever. They're not doing that, and hopefully they don't do it tonight, but we got to end that when we can. And again, we do have to clear the front of the net, and we got to retrieve those bad angle rebound shots.
Hopefully Bruce Boudreau isn't listening to this on his way down to the rink today, because we just gave him the game plan right there.
No, he is listening. Damn it.
So now they're going to win tonight. You can blame us.
What was I thinking?
Gave Minnesota the game plan.
I mean, geez. Oh, well.
Just keep doing what you're
doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great.
Everything's
are all going to work out for you, Minnesota. Don't you worry.
Well, you know who is listening. It's Chris Stewart.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, he's pissed at me. That is what it is. Go ahead, try him.
I think 75 got your back on this one, though.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think
And
I'm
kind of worthless. I get a lot of testosterone, but I'm kind of worthless, and
oh, we'll talk
I would
about,
help you, too.
We'll talk about that. Look, we'll talk about your testosterone in a second, because we're going to have to talk about mentality.
Speaking of Bruce Boudreau, Hannah, he's had a little bit of his temper's kind of flared up a little bit in this series.
He was frustrated, during his postgame, after his interviews, he got up. He was short. He just got up and left. It'll be interesting to see how he is today. I think he was, more calm this morning. I didn't get to stay and listen. But, that is going to happen when you're down 3-0 in the series and you were not expecting that by any means. And it seems like you've tried every possible way to beat this team and you couldn't do it. So it'll be interesting. Cam, do you think coming out tonight, how physical do you think it's going to be? Do you think these boys are just going to be ruthless against
the Blues? Absolutely. Oh, they should. Your back's against the wall. You should. Yeah. And you know how you counter that? You play more physical.
Mm-hmm.
Smart. You play smart. You get pucks in. You wear their D out. You piss them off. They're mad right now.
Right.
You lay a couple guys out the first three shifts, they're going to take penalties on you. And especially if you score a goal and you still keep the physical play up and you don't let up the gas like we've been doing whenever we take the lead, you don't do that. You stay all over them. Make them work for every single inch, especially in their defensive zone. Make them work. Make their D work. Just like I said, for that, what they should do with our D, we do that with them. That's what Brodziak was saying. Sometimes you don't need to dump it in. Sometimes you have more time than you think. Sometimes you don't just need to shoot that bad angle shot like they've been doing. Why don't you go and set up shop, start cycle, right. make them work. And even if you don't get a shot or you don't take it to the net, you wear them out for 40 seconds, get a good change, and then have 91 come on and let the big dog do his thing, which, again, I'm predicting he's showing up tonight.
Yeah, you can tell each game they've started to really focus on the offense and focus on keeping the puck in the offensive zone more than dumping it in. That first game, there were very few times they weren't just dumping it in, especially by the end of the game. That was all they had to do.
They had nothing.
It was like their only option because they could not pull it together. Second game improved a little bit, and the third game really took control.
You know what else I hope tonight? I hope the refs don't realize. Well, I hope they realize
they
that.
Just not show up. That'd be all right.
Well, I just hope they realize that no one came to watch them play again. Not even their family. I'll say that again. Nobody's coming to watch the refs play. Keep your whistles away and let it have something directly affects a goal scoring chance directly, or it's something just flat out asinine where somebody cross checks somebody, or what Draisaitl from the Edmonton Oilers did the other night.
Break a stick over his head?
No, he speared somebody. He's going to get a game for that. That's one of their best players. He's got 75 points playing with Patty Maroon and Connor McDavid, and he spears somebody.
Who was the
you
one
don't
who broke,
do that.
Who was the one who broke the stick over his head?
Oh, Culvert from – I liked that. It wasn't over – okay, wait.
And then he
punched
him
No, wait. He cross-checked him in the shoulder and broke his stick, which, whatever. That's a normal cross-check. Like, it wasn't normal because he didn't have the puck. Whatever. Optics were terrible. The optics were damn terrible. But the cross-check.
And then he saw that his stick broke, so he punched him in the face.
He didn't punch me. He shoved him in the chest. Again, you got to know what a punch
optics.
Is, TJ.
Optics.
You're right. The optics were bad on that, though. But it wasn't that bad. It wasn't. Now, when you get speared in the nuts, that's a different story. And I tell you, you got speared the other day. Barbie did. That pissed me off.
They didn't call it.
That drove me crazy.
Oh, they called it. Yeah, they just didn't call it spear.
No, they didn't call it spear. They called it 2 minute.
Yeah.
They called it 2 minute slash.
Yes. But there was
it wasn't a spear.
In the first game, they speared him right in the gut.
Right by
the bench.
And yes,
no
that was a slash.
Yep.
That was a slash. They called a slash.
Yeah, no, they
but
did. They
were refusing to call the spear, though.
I know. Twice. It was a complete spear. But again, whatever. I'd rather just not call anything, to be completely honest with you. And I like what you said, Joel Edmondson. came off the bench, skated by their bench, and said, "Hey, Zucker." It was little Zucker did it.
Yep.
I wonder what he said. Oh God, I love that. I love when I had to do that. By the way, it was just the coolest thing.
I think any nut shot should be an automatic suspension of like 10 games. I mean, anytime you do that, that should be 10,
look.
10
it depends. Look, you didn't just throw 10-15 games out at people. Like, come on. I mean, if it was nasty, then okay, the guy's hurt. You did whatever. You broke something. Then fine. But you can't just throw 10 games at people. I mean, God, if you were a ref and I'd be losing my mind, Eric.
You wouldn't have made, you would have owed the NHL money.
Oh, my God.
It's the Hard Line powered by Johnny Lodnoff Chevrolet right here on 590 The Fan.
Let's get a Hard Line news update with Matt Rocchio. Here's the mail!
But The Rock is cooking! The Cards finished off the sweep and down the Pittsburgh Pirates 2-1, and it was all because of one man, Dexter Fowler. He had a big game.
Fowler with a drive. Out to deep right. Jason Bell, gone! First home run as a Cardinal, Dexter Fowler, and it's 1-0 St. Louis. Fowler, deep right, and it is gone!
Both those home runs, the only offense from the St. Louis Cardinals, and there was big Michael Wacha improved to 2-1 behind 6 2/3 of work and just 4 hits allowed for the day. In other MLB scores, the Brewers leading the Cubs 4-2 in the bottom of the 7th, the Rangers down 6-1 to the Athletics in the bottom of the 5th, and the Mariners leading the Marlins 8-4 in the top of the 5th there. Blues in action tonight after 2 days rest. They'll go for the sweep over the Minnesota Wild tonight in Scott Trade. Puck drop is set for 8:30 p.m. Also on the slate for the NHL, Capitals and Maple Leafs. Leafs lead that series 2-1. Senators and Bruins. Senators with a 2-1 lead. And the Ducks will go for the sweep of the Calgary Flames on the late game tonight. Aaron Hernandez was found dead earlier today, hanging in his Massachusetts prison cell. He was 27 years old. And a tweet earlier today from his former agent, Brian Murphy, he said in part, "Absolutely no chance he took his own life." I'm Matt Rocchio with the 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Rock. The KVNS Gateway Golf Card, there are still some of these left, less than 50, though, on InsideSTL.com. You need to take advantage of this. If you like to play golf, listen to what you get for this. You get 4 18-hole rounds with a cart. You get 1 9-hole round with a cart and 2 large buckets of practice range balls. That's over $250 in golf value for just $125. Play Tapawingo, Aberdeen, the Quarry at Crystal Springs, Belk Park, and Creve Coeur. Don't miss out. Again, less than 50 of these are left, and once they're gone, they're gone. You can make tee times anytime, Monday through Friday, on the weekends, anytime after noon. And best of all, that cart fee is included. So save over 50% on golf this spring and summer with the KFNS Gateway Golf Card. Again, it's on sale now. Just go to InsideSTL.com. Eric Messersmith, Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, Matt Whitener, Hannah Yates. This is the Hard Line, powered by Johnny Lodnoff Chevrolet, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.